Thank you, Mr. Rams. I don't know. Am I a cornea or a liver or a kidney, maybe? I don't know. Each one's vital, though, if you want to do the function, so I guess that's good in a way. I felt like a transplant years ago when I first moved out here, many years ago. This is kind of an awkward time to give a sermon at because you're right between the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and so do you talk about trumpets that's now past? Do you look on down to Tabernacles, which is yet coming? Do you talk about traveling to the feast, or exactly what? Well, the key is in Matthew 25:45. It says to give people meat in due season. So I thought that's what we would do, because we're going to talk about the lack of it. What is due season? Well, due season is the feast that is soon coming up, the spiritual feast, the feast of the Day of Atonement. Now, I know most of you are not looking forward to it. You're not looking forward to going without food or water or coffee. You're not looking forward to the headaches or that queasy stomach. But fasting is both a spiritual discipline and a requirement. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23. We all know where that is. We all know what it says, but let's just rehearse it again. Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 32. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day. For it is the Day of Atonement to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath." Rather clear. But even before then, in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 through 34, if you would turn there, Leviticus 16, 29 through 34. God says, "This shall be a statute forever to you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and no work at all, and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever." And you can read on. One of the things I was thinking about that I don't even have in my notes is that at Passover, the sacrificial lamb was to be set aside 10 days before the Passover. And here, the Day of Atonement is on the 10th day of the 7th month. So, trumpets is the first day of the 7th month. And I thought that was rather an interesting correlation there. Like I said, I didn't put it in my notes. It just was something that popped into my head, and I thought, interesting. But it is a spiritual discipline and a requirement. What is the purpose for fasting? We see that in Isaiah 58. If you would turn over to Isaiah 58, let's look at verses 5 through 9. We're not going to look at too many other scriptures besides these, but in Isaiah 58, that's on page 1021, verse 5, it says, "Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." So this is the purpose for fasting. It is to break the bonds of wickedness. It is to let the oppressed, which is ourselves, go free. Verse 8 tells us the benefits, that our light shall shine forth into all the world. Now, you don't see too many examples of fasting, successful fasting, in the Bible. The one is in Jonah about Nineveh, where Jonah preached to Nineveh that they would soon be destroyed. And what happened? They all repented. They all did what? They loosed the bonds of wickedness that was holding them to their evil ways. They undid the heavy burdens. They broke the yokes that were holding them down. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 16 that when you fast, now not if we fast, but when we fast. Now the Day of Atonement is that one day when we fast, if no other day. And in Mark 2 and Luke 5, he says that his people should fast after the bridegroom himself was taken away, that we will fast. Here's a little bit of what is written about fasting in the New Bible Dictionary, second edition. Fasting in the Bible generally means going without all food and drink for a period of time. You can see that in Esther 4, verse 16. And not merely refraining from certain foods. I looked in several other reference pieces, and they said, well, yeah, you can go without some foods, or you can do this and that. And there's a great idea in the Protestant community that you can fast from television, or you can fast from soda pop, or you can do that. That's not fasting, folks. Fasting is going without all food and drink for a period of time. In the International Bible Dictionary, it says, "Fasting as a private individual act of devotion also became extremely popular in the post-exilic times, and though neither Jesus nor the early church laid down rules for fasting, though God did it earlier on," if I can insert that, "it was taken for granted as a religious discipline by them." And further on in the same article, in section 4, subsection A, it says, "Jesus maintained, in the same vein as Isaiah 58, verses 3 and 4, that fasting, like any other expression of devotion, is something done to the glory of God, not a means by which the admiration of men is sought. God looks not upon the outward actions, but upon the disposition of the heart. The worth of fasting, as any other act, lies in the devotion of which it is the expression. Without such devotion, it is of itself meaningless. Basically, you just go hungry. That's it. That's the meaning of it. We have established that fasting is both a requirement and a spiritual discipline. But is that it? I mean, when you drive a car, when you learn to drive a car, do you just get behind the wheel and point it in one direction? Whatever's in front of you, you run into? Is that how you drive? No. You learn the various nuances, like turning the steering wheel, applying the brake, using the turn signals, looking in your mirrors, etc. So is fasting. We can just stop eating and stop drinking. But there are other considerations. There are some of us that have health conditions. There are those that may have hypoglycemia or low blood sugar. There are some that are diabetic and have hyperglycemia or too much blood sugar. There are those that have blood pressure that has to be regulated. I sometimes feel that way at work. There are other regulations too that, you know, where you may be having to follow a strict diet or have to have so much water or whatever the case is. Now, medications aren't considered food. You don't go down to Albertsons in the dairy case and buy your Celebrex. You don't go, you know, to Safeway into the meat counter and get your heart medication. You know, it's not food. So you should not just abruptly stop taking medications without two things. One, consulting your doctor. Is it safe for me to do this? You don't want to come to church and not take your medication and fall over dead or have, you know, be unconscious or anything like that. Secondly is you would want to consult the ministry, you know, because most medications are oral. Some are injectable. Injectable is not a problem because you're not eating it or drinking it. But you have to consider what you're doing. So you need to talk with your doctor, and you should also talk with your minister. Why? Because some medications you have to take with food. Otherwise, you got a hole in your stomach or whatever else that it goes to. You have to take it with water. Maybe you have to take it with milk. Maybe you, like I said, need to eat a little bit of food with it so that it doesn't damage your body. There are optional medications. You know, I happen to be somewhat over 50, and my doctor told me, well, you should be taking one of these little aspirins, 81 milligrams a day. Make sure that your blood's thin and it doesn't stop going through your arteries and veins. Now, that's optional. I can do without an aspirin for the day. I don't have to take that. But there may be other medications that I should take that my doctor would say, no, 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 no. That's a no-no. So you need to check, because it is important for your health, but it is also important to observe what God expects us to observe. Now, there's also the wonderful example of coffee and caffeine, those awful headaches. What you do is you plan ahead. You start working your way off of coffee and the heavy caffeine. I have a Jewish friend, and we used to have lunch together a lot, and he was always complaining about having his caffeine headaches on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. I said, Henry, what you need to do is withdraw ahead of time. Well, yeah, but I just get up and I take my aspirin and go about my business. Wrong idea. So we just need to plan ahead. My wife and I plan ahead, and 2 or 3 days earlier, she starts weaning us off of caffeine so that a day or two before the of atonement, we're decaffeinated, no headaches. And if we do have, we're free to take our aspirin. Now, we can fast because God commands it, or we can fast, as Isaiah says, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo our heavy burdens, of worry and anger and frustration and give them over to Christ, to free ourselves from this world of Satan and his yoke of bondage. Our goal of fasting on the Day of Atonement, or at any time, should be as we see in Isaiah 58, verse 9. Isaiah 58, verse 9 says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here, I am.'"